I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today on It's a Good Life, I'd like for us to look at the subject, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, the Declaration of Independence is a document proclaiming the independence of the 13 English colonies in America. The Declaration was adopted by the Continental Congress on July 4, 1776. In it are these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Unalienable or inalienable rights means impossible to take away, not able to be transferred or taken away. In other words, because of being protected by law. Amendment 1 says this: "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." And we started losing physically life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when God was taken out of the affairs of man in our generation. Examples of this would be the Bible removed from the schools, prayer, the book, the Bible removed, not only from the schools, but from the church, the blood, the book, the blessed hope. And also we see that it has been removed from the homes of our people in the United States. Not everybody, but many. Now, the First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States, January 1, 1802, in an address to the Danbury Baptists, he says, "Do not let anyone claim the tribute of American patriotism if they ever attempt to remove Christianity or religion from politics." George Washington, from his farewell address to the nation, he said, "Man may be able to change some things on this earth, but man can never change what God has for those who place their trust in Him." Unalienable or inalienable rights. Impossible to take away. Not able to be transferred or taken away because of being protected by law. But it's sad that man, once again, has done things to change the law, to take away these rights. And according to the Word of God and according to our founding fathers, this is totally wrong. But thank God He never changes. Saved people are protected by His law. He does not take away what He has given. And I'm sure you've heard this before. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. It is true that God wants all of us to have these three wonderful gifts: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Man may try to take it away, but God says, "I want to give it." Well, God gives life. And we see that it's not only life, but God gives everlasting life. Familiar verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's a law of God. He gives life. He not only gives everlasting life, but God gives abundant life, according to John 10:10. It says there, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's Jesus Christ speaking. God not only gives us everlasting life and abundant life, God gives abundant grace. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We also see that God gives abundant pardon. Isaiah 55:7 says that, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God also gives us joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, Paul the Apostle says, and their deep poverty, speaking of Christians there, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The seven ages of man is spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, wills. And this is what makes up man's life. Let me say it again. Spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. And that seems to wrap up man's life. But God wants to give us everlasting life, abundant life. He gives us abundant grace, abundant pardon, abundant joy, and a grand entrance into His kingdom. Now as we look further, we see that God not only gives life, He gives and offers liberty. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to proclaim liberty to the captives, according to Isaiah 61:1. You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. I thought that the New Testament's what we go by as Christians. Well, the Old Testament, you can't take one without the other. The Old Testament is the Word of God, the same as the New Testament. If you study, you'll find that much of the Old Testament is quoted in the New. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bound by sin, bound by what we were placed in from the first man, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Jesus sets us free from that. We are all captives of sin, servants of sin, before Jesus sets us free. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In John 8:36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And He wants to make everyone free in this world. Thank God. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord, we can say, Christ hath made us free indeed. In Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to free us from sin. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Read also, if you would, Romans 6:22 and Romans 8:2. In conjunction with to be free from sin, Christ came into the world for that. He also came into the world to free us from Satan. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. God not only offers us life, He offers us liberty. We must take it in order to be free. Peter Marshall, before the U.S. Senate, this happened some time ago, before the U.S. Senate, said it so ever well in a prayer many years ago. He said, "Lord Jesus, Thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make us all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us to see that liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please, to do what is right." And I wonder how many people could stand in the U.S. Senate today and pray a prayer like that. I would say it's outlawed today because of man. Man has taken away liberty. But God promises liberty through Jesus Christ. God not only offers us life and liberty, He offers us happiness. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." And Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." John 13, 17. And that old song, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, where is happiness? We know happiness comes from Jesus, but where is happiness? Happiness is in wisdom according to the Bible. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 3:18 says, "She is a tree of life," this is wisdom, "to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." And Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Happiness is also in mercy and truth. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Where did mercy and truth meet? Thank God it met, they met, mercy and truth met on the cross of Calvary. Happiness is in the Lord, according to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Do you know Christ is your Savior today? Do you have life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness? Are you pursuing happiness today? In this country we live in, we may not experience that with our government, but we can experience that through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by saying, "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior." Trust Him today, and He'll save you. Look at our website this week, if you would, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. Until the next time when you hear me say, "It is a good life," may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.